I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. May God add his blessings to this reading.
Thank you, Jean. I appreciate that. You know, through the years that I've been here, I've asked many times that you try to think outside of the box. Often when we hear scripture, we're so used to hearing it, and we're so used to hearing someone say what it means that it's never actually investigated as to what it could possibly mean. It's kind of like, you know, if I came in here and I said, oh, you wouldn't believe it, I actually had someone say, wait, it's my turn to sit on the front pew. You're never going to hear that, you know? But this scripture offers something to us not only as believers in Christ, but personally. And so I'm going to ask that you think of this personally, what Jesus is saying. And here's what I mean. Instead of the end times of the world, think of it as the end times of your life. How many of you have experienced hard times in your life? Is there anyone here who has not experienced any hard times in their life? You might have suffered a financial setback. You may have been laid off from work or maybe even fired. You may have had a relationship that broke up, but something that gave you a hard time in your heart and in your mind. I'm going to tell you a little story, and it's about me. And I rarely ever tell stories about me, but I'm going to share this one. I was in the seventh grade when I had my first crush. There was this little girl I just had to have. I knew that this girl was made just for me. Now, I'm 12 going on 13, and I thought that this girl was going to make my whole life better, and it was puppy love, and no, Jerry, that doesn't mean a puppy. It means that you're in love for your first time. But, you know, this girl, I went up to her. You just have no idea how shy I was. I was so shy that I wouldn't speak to girls, but this girl I was going to speak to, and I walked up to her. And I said, would you go steady with me? And then I nearly turned and ran. To my shock and amazement, she said yes. And so I said, I have a ring. I'll give you. And I took the ring off my finger because I couldn't find anything else. I didn't even think about it, but I thought that's what you do. And I had a Houston Astros ring. My dad had taken us on vacation. We went through Houston, and we stopped at the Astrodome. Yes, it dates me, but it was back when it was first built. But I got me a Houston Astros ring, and so I said, here. And I put the ring on her finger. It wasn't until she walked away that I noticed my finger was green. But I didn't even know what that meant, other than it must be pretty cheap. But she put it on her finger and she wore it. And so people would say, "Are you two going steady?" And she had showed them a Houston Astros ring. I was so proud of that. We actually went steady for 2 years. And I'm going to tell you something else, and it's true, and my kids laugh when I say it, but it's absolutely true. I was so shy in 2 years of going steady with this girl, going to movies with this girl, going to football games with this girl, I never kissed her. Not once. Because I could never get that close. It scared me. But after 2 years of this great relationship I was having, she called and said she was breaking up with me at the end of the eighth grade. And I cried. And in fact, I would say I wept. I begged her on the phone, "Don't do this. Don't do that. You want to be with me." If I had a thought of the words, I would have said, "God ordained it. You got to be with me." But the point is this, folks. At that age, that crushed me. And I look back now and I can laugh. But at the time, I thought my life had come to an end. I'd lost the only girl I ever had the guts to walk up to and talk to. It was devastating. And a lot of us go through these types of situations when we lose a loved one or our marriage ends in divorce. Whatever it is, we have heart-wrenching areas in our lives. And at the time, it seems there's no way out. So here's Jesus, and Jesus says, at those heart-wrenching times, when things are just really difficult for you, that's when I'm there. Look for the Son of Man riding on the clouds. Look for me. Listen to what he says to us. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. You can actually feel that without it happening. Literally. You can feel it in your spirit. Now, just to add insult to injury, because I'm sure Connie did this to guys. She says, I'm breaking up with you because I want this 11th grader. She's in the 8th grade. I want this 11th grader. He knows karate. I don't mind telling you, that summer I took karate. I was like, oh my gosh, but it was to no avail. I wasn't getting her back. But I feel certain most, if not all of you, have had some experience like that that just crushed you and took you down and made you feel that there was no hope. I want you to listen to this second part. Right here, people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. I don't know if you're aware of this, but in Greek, the word that was translated as faint means to stop breathing, to become breathless. That's what it means. We think of it as, well, poop, you're still, you know, breathing, but not in the Greek. Not in this text. Wouldn't that kind of symbol a death to you? If you're not breathing, you're breathless. And then, as I said, you're going to see the Lord coming into your life. Coming into your life. And putting breath back in you. What if the end times are our own personal end times? What if when Jesus says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory, now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. What if that's you that has been restored, has been redeemed? Think out of the box. These gospel writers are pretty good about telling a message to you, via a story. Oh, wait, that's what Jesus did with parables. It wasn't a literal story, but it was intended to help you go forward. Not the world's redemption, but your redemption is drawing near. Now, there's a story told about a pastor of a church in Boston who met a young boy in front of the sanctuary carrying a rusty cage in which several birds fluttered nervously. The pastor inquired, "Son, where did you get those birds?" The boy replied, "I trapped them out in the field." "What are you going to do with them?" the pastor asked. "I'm going to play with them, and then I guess I'll feed them to an old cat we have at home." When the pastor heard this, he offered to buy them. The boy said, "Mister, you don't want them. They're just little old wild birds and can't sing very well." "I'll give you $2 for the cage and the birds," the pastor said. "Okay, it's a deal, but you're making a bad bargain," the boy said. The exchange was made, and the boy went away whistling, happy with shiny coins in his pocket. The pastor walked around to the back of the church property, opened the door of the small wire coop, and let the struggling creature soar into the blue. The next Sunday, he took the empty cage into the pulpit and used it to illustrate his sermon about Christ coming to seek and save the lost, praying and paying for them. Preacher said, "That boy told me the birds were not songsters, but when I released them and they winged their way heavenward, it seemed to me they were singing, 'Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed.'" When we get down to our rock bottom and things really seem bad, oftentimes when the Lord comes into our life, He redeems us in a way that we want to sing. We see that what was happening at the moment wasn't that bad. What was bad was what was going on in our heads and in our hearts. When a person has this life-changing experience, he or she will want to sing. Have you had that experience? All these bad things happen, and then suddenly one morning you wake up and you want to sing. Jesus said, "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." When our time is near, our time here on earth, we can rest assured our Lord and Savior will be coming in a cloud with power and great glory. We are never alone. Remember what He said at the end of the gospel in Matthew, "Lo, I am with you always." He adds, "Be on guard so your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life." And, excuse me, "and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." To stand before the Son of Man. You stand before the Son of Man. As Jesus told His disciples and us, be prepared. If we allow the worries of this life to interfere with the joy that the Lord has put in our hearts, we're doing a disservice. We have fallen into a trap. This scripture, as with many other passages, actually offers hope. It's not all gloom and doom and, oh, well, I like to think of it in terms of the earth is coming to an end and, boy, isn't that great. That's not it. When your life comes to an end, who do you have? You have the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first Sunday of Advent. And as this season of the church shouts to all who will hear and listen, this passage paints a hope-filled picture. You can talk about the trees, you can talk about the figs, you can talk about heaven and earth, you can talk about the sun and the moon, but this is about us, each one of us. Jesus uses apocalyptic language to evoke vivid images of the powerful hope in the midst of life experiences. Whether it be a broken heart, loss of a loved one, financial setback, emotional trauma, or whatever we may feel the need to give into, hear that? We feel the need to give into, we must not give in, but have hope. That's how this passage ends. Jesus is telling us, have hope. And on one other note that is very important, when you read these passages, please keep in mind, Jesus uses the word will. You get that? Will. That's down the road. It's not happening now. There will be signs. People will faint. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man. This generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Jesus speaks of God's time. And as you know, God's time is a different experience than we experience time. Time is so arbitrary. You heard of Pacific time, Mountain time, Central time, Eastern time, Greenwich Mean time. It's a different time all around the world. We have that organized so we can walk within that time frame. God has no time frame. We've heard it said more than once that in the blink of an eye can be 1,000 years to God. It could be 1,000,000 years. In sum, this scripture tells us we will go through the change of seasons, birth, life, death, and we will have experiences at each stage. Our own unique experiences, unlike others, but like others. Does that make sense? We may all experience death. We're going to experience in a different way. We may all live life, but we're going to live life in a different way. I've experienced life in a different way than any of you. My own personal experience, my own perception of what happened. What I may have read as hope, you may read as really bad, and vice versa. It's all different. What causes some of us to grow may cause others to wither. What brings life to some may bring death to others. As winter brings life, it also brings death. As spring brings life, it also brings death. Freezing, flooding, hurricanes, tornadoes, drought, heat stroke, whatever it may be, we all experience it differently. Other people will tell you that when we had our winter storm last February, it was the worst experience of their lives, and others will say, boy, that was such a great time. I cuddled up by the fire and had some hot chocolate. It was wonderful. It's all different. That's what this scripture says. It's all different. But it's all the same in that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst. Be on guard so your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly. That day doesn't catch you unexpectedly. Not that it doesn't catch the world unexpectedly. The writer of the gospel makes this very personal. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. All who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Stay strong. It's the message. Stay strong. Stay hopeful. Pray. Be diligent in doing the work of the Lord. also be diligent in praising the Lord. All of that is in this one scripture that so many want to take and say, oh my gosh, the world's going to end. It's going to be bad. What if you read this and you say, oh my gosh, I'm going to come to an end. I need to prepare spiritually for that day. I need to be hopeful for the future. How many people have you known in your lifetime that say, well, we're all going to die. What's the point? Yeah, I would get out there and work and do things, but we're going to die. Why bother? Is that hopeful? Does that sound like a person who can't wait to get out there and do the work of the Lord? I'm hopeful. I have hope. I have hope for our church family. I have hope that we'll grow. I have hope that we will remain faithful to God. I have hope that we will continue the ministries of Jesus Christ. I have hope. I wake up every morning saying, thank you, Lord, that I have breath in my body so I can continue your work. And then I say to you and to me, may our hearts not be weighed down, but lifted up to God, because that's what Jesus teaches. What does Jesus say? Bring your burdens to me. Lighten your load. So that you may be joyful and hopeful in this life. Are you? When we do things in this sanctuary, we have a call to worship. And if there are exclamations at the end of a sentence, do you read it with joy? Or do you say, and the Lord said? This is a celebration. What we do here is a celebration. What you do in your private life should be a celebration. Why? You woke up with breath in your body. You woke up with another day to make the Lord your Savior, your Master, and to have that Lord walk with you every second of every day. Doesn't get any better than that. That's why we're here. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray. Lord, all too often we don't wish to live in the moment. We look down the road as to what will happen. You, Lord, pointed out will, not that it's happening now, not that we need to give up now, not that we need to feel sad now. But we do know that bad things will happen. That's life. But what we need now is hope. What we need now is prayer. What we need now is you. May we prepare for this Christmas, for the coming of your Son that we celebrate, in a way in which will make you happy, will please your heart, and will bring glory to you. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.